434-1780, boy. This, Dennis, my brother lives on Maxwell Coast Road. He was told that the excess unexploded fireworks left over by the hotels in that area from the New Year's celebrations had to be exploded by a certain time. They supposedly did it in a controlled manner for safety reasons. So that seems to be more than one hotel. Said hotels. Someone asked, how did he know it was from Sandals? He said, after he read the newspaper article, he presumed it was so. Person said, yes, he proceeded to speak as though he was sure. Another one said they lived in St. Matthias and they ran under the bed because they were worried about the sound. Okay. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
How are you doing today?
I am doing all right today, sir. All right. How are you?
Now, I want to deal with two topics.
Mm-hmm.
I want to deal with the tourism sector. Then I can leave that for last, because that's your pet subject. But listening to that caller about the two mental patients, Dennis, I heard my representative talk about the way the old people are being treated. And let me tell you this. I could tell you about first-hand experience. There is something going on in this country that people don't realize. Now, I was doing a job for an old lady. Her brother had to go to one of the geriatric hospitals. Strange enough, he used to receive a contributory pension. That means despite the fact that he is in the geriatric hospital, he would still get his pension, correct? Because that is what it is. So a letter was drafted that they should give the sister the pension. It was objected by some person at the geriatric hospital. Eventually, they wanted his ID card.
Who was the day who wanted it?
Some person from the geriatric hospital.
No, the geriatric hospital. Okay.
Yeah. The sister did not give up the ID card. But you know, and this is true, John 3:16. You don't know that at his passing, a ID card. And let me say this, the ID card that the sister had that was original, the gentleman could have written. But this one had on an X with some fictitious name up on it. I am calling on my representative, who now is the minister responsible for care, to investigate these geriatric hospitals pertaining to those people that are patients and receiving national insurance pension, and to see where this pension is going. That is all I have to say on that.
No, before you move off of that, I saw a front page story in the Sunday Sun. Minister says abuse of senior citizens. The minister responsible, the representative for St. Thomas. And in that article, he spoke about vulnerable people, the disabled mentioned, and battered women. And I made a note on the side of it that whenever I did Brass Tacks, and fortuitously it happened to be today, I would add something that I did not see, and that's elderly males who either live on their own or find themselves in care. I don't know why Michelle is smiling at me. Perhaps I look like an elderly male. But they are vulnerable because they're taken advantage of. Sometimes because of their own fault, I might add. Fathered numerous children with numerous women, and so therefore there are people who want to get a piece of whatever they have left. Relatives who figure, well, you know, you used to come by me and eat Sunday lunch every Sunday because you can't fend for yourself. I wash your dirty underwear and your pants, so I want a piece of the pie too. So they're vulnerable. as I said, sometimes because of their own adventurism and lack of care for themselves. But there must be a way in which provisions are made if they're going to be in care and their pensions are supposed to be paid to assist with their care, to give them anything extra they may need. There must be a legal framework in which it's done and not left to whether a relative wants to intervene or somebody in a geriatric hospital wants to intervene or some taxi driver who would take them out to get their pension want to intervene. There has to be a way to do it. So it's not only the people who give the care you got to look at, it's the whole apparatus, because they could be taken advantage by everything from nice looking girls who tell them they'll come and help them clean the kitchen on a Sunday. Why, well, anyway, are you laughing?
Yeah. All right.
Elderly males who live by themselves are vulnerable. Go ahead.
Yes.
Tell me the other one.
And then if I get hold of Miss Ford at any time, mm-hmm. I can give her a rundown and she could research it herself.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, let us deal with tourism. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, whenever I speak from a standpoint of evidence.
Okay.
Now, I believe every apartment should be registered as long as they haven't guessed at it. And there should be certain recommendations that made from the board, tourism board, that as long as you haven't guessed, you should have certain things in place.
Correct.
Something happened last night, then. I could afford a car now because of commercial businesses. Last night, I went to, just there by the cemetery in St. James, that long building, Lord, if I ain't getting old, I forget the name.
I'm glad you say so. An old man, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyhow, it is the hotel or a condominium below the St. James Cemetery.
Right.
And you would believe, you should see the guests coming out with buckets, bottles, and water truck right in front of the building. Then as you feel a building like that should not have tanks.
Maybe they had tanks and the tanks ran out. Look, honestly, if your private residence, you were told once it's over a certain square foot, it should have water storage capacity, I think hotels should. There should also be standby power to at least provide power up to a certain level. And depending on the type of accommodation and your charge, what you charge guests, there should be a minimum, I agree with you, regulatory framework that says you should provide these things. Running water, I'm not saying you should have water to supply people for a week or a month or, you know, but for a certain period.
One should be there.
24 hours, whatever, yeah. 48 hours.
I went also and I took some guests to a place near Porter's Court. When I got there, in fact, before I took the guests, they tell me allow them to go in at, where they don't call them the gas. They call them garages. you know that term.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same gas station.
Petrol station.
So they went into the garage, as they call it. They said they have to fetch some bottles because there's no water.
This is what's in St. James?
St. James. Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I call these names. Because these are names, whenever you venture into this sort of industry, you should have things like standby generator, and you should also have tanks that, you know, when I see what was happening, I said, well, I thought it was in the country, waiting for the water truck to come around. People with bottles, and we've upgraded tourism. And these are the things that the tourist board, as long as you apply for an apartment or a condominium, these are the recommendations that you should have
correct.
Before you pass to do such things. This is the point that I'm dealing with this morning, that no condominium or apartment should be registered officially bringing in business unless they have these things on your property.
Well, how do you know they don't have it?
Hey, but listen, that is my contribution, and I still remind that if you're going high tech, low tech, wherever you're going, these is basic.
Those are things you need to have. I can't disagree with you on that, sir. As I said, I think you should have at least the basics. And as far as I know, offering accommodation in Barbados is regulated by the Barbados Hotel and Tourism Association. They have registered members and they usually send out people and give them accreditation and various other things. I will check with the Senator Rudy and find out if that is widespread, if it's still enforced and how it goes. Good morning to you, Mr. Grant, if you're listening. Expect a call from me on this at some point. Thanks for your contribution, sir. Someone sent a picture here to us via WhatsApp and says, there's a tree growing through the electrical wires in Belfield land. The pole number is SDK158. And it's a rather thick growth. I can't even see wires in it, but if I look very closely, I can see the wire running through it. So that's Belfield land, pole number SDK158. Very thick vegetation through those wires. Could scarcely be seen. Brastax, good morning. I am told, sir, that those are sold as condos. The units are sold to individuals. It's not an apartment. Now, I'm sure which one he's talking of, that person is referring to. I guess one of those two you mentioned, sir. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I am doing all right, and you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, as I often say, but I'm okay, thanks. Yeah, I always look forward to a positive day. Every day has its own circumstances, but you've got to deal with them going forward. Now, it would be remiss of me to go on with any further discussion with you before paying my respects to the passing of an avid caller, a very well-liked caller, passing of Rashid Foster. Thank God I was able to have two visits with him before his passing. And may he rest in peace. And condolence go to all of his fans, friends, relatives, family, etc. I hope everything will be taken care of going forward in that regard. Now, I heard you there with, you started out with your analysis, which you're an authority in your music and your Peter Tosh and your Glee. And then Bob Marley said, well, he's going to cut loose now.
No.
No, sir.
I don't know why people think I like to cut loose. I was having a conversation, a quiet conversation. Quiet.
When I say cut loose, that's when it's terrible. Yeah, but I know that's up your street. And you do a lot of research. Because, I mean, from how you present, I know that you're not superficial, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your analysis of the public service was something else, man. Going forward quickly, now, the gentleman that spoke about the police and thing, I endorse everything that he would have said. Now, the thing that has me is, look, a police getting hurt in the line of duty. I remember some time ago, about a year or so ago, they voted for some millions of dollars, $4 or $5 million in a separate package for police that would get hurt in the line of duty in Trinidad. And I highlighted it too. It is beyond me, as the gentleman explained, long years and you come out a constable. Look, there's one that I can highlight readily. This officer, he got hurt in the line of duty, and this public knowledge. Siebert Johnson, and all you are still hearing, he says, Sergeant Siebert Johnson. I can't get it worked out. A police get hurt in the line of duty should be taken care of in a special way. Anyhow, so much for that. I guess, as he said, the Attorney General, the Prime Minister, et cetera, they will look into that. Now, my main point today now is, I was in a discussion with Dr. Maskell sometime last week there when he was on the air, and part of his emphasis was laid that private sector has to do quite a bit in regard to productivity going forward. I don't know if you would have heard that discussion or when he was in the studio.
I did.
You did, right. So going forward now, in light of what is the private sector's responsibility and role, I want to highlight one that is somewhat a little concerning to me. I'll ask some questions I don't expect you to answer, but I'm going to highlight them anyhow. Now, on the front page of Tuesday, the 4th of February, 2020, we had the situation at the dump, the landfill, and it's tire pressure is the heading, tire pressure. And at the bottom, you see there's some little subheadings with like 8,000 tires a month rolling into the dump. Then you said that you got government looking to buy a $500,000 shredder. And then the next one was 12 hours later, blaze under control. My concern here now and questions will start like, what is going to happen going forward if you're still having 8,000 tires per month rolling into the dump? What is going to happen with the buildup of the tires where there's always that likelihood that they can catch up again? You mean we will have to be exposed to this kind of black, thick smoke and licking up your inhalation and that kind of thing. The question I want to ask this morning is, I understand Mr. Paul Bennett from BC, he has got a shredder. And it's a shredder. I said, well, look, if he's saying that, let me go up there and see it. You have ever gone to bees, Mr. Johnson, other than you say you go there and carry bottles and just go.
Sir, let me pull you up, right?
Pull me up.
When I saw this story about the burning tires, I laughed.
Uh-huh.
When I saw the story about government seeking to acquire a shredder, I laughed. Because one of the problems that I have, sir, is that I can't get rid of my memory. There got people I'd like to forget that I can't forget. Okay?
Okay. I know.
And I know that bees had a shredder. I know they wanted to put the shredder into operation. And I know the good people of Bagatelle protested, but the vibration and the noise and the shaking their foundation and the devaluation of their property and the shredder was never put into effect. So I have been to the area. I was taken there by a gentleman who showed me where the tires were. The tires are covered in grass and tall enough to be a mountain. It looks from a distance like it's a mountain. Until you get up close to it, you realize that they're tires. That situation in St. Thomas, an area that I'm very familiar with, where bees set up, where they went on the other side of the road, where they ended up with a fire and all sorts of environmental concerns, with the Lestevon School just downwind from them, should not be there, full stop. They were there before the Lestevon School. I am aware of that. But with the Lestevon School there, it should not be there. One. Two. If Mr. Bino is waiting on approval to put his operation somewhere else, I saw the brother of Sir Charles, Mr. Busy Williams, talking about how long it takes to get approvals. These are the things that need to be done in an expedited, let me put it that way, if the private sector is supposed to assist in this matter. It was said that the tires could be shredded and used to fix the roads. Well, we got roads in Barbados that need to be fixed. Some of them are being fixed right now. There are others that need to be fixed. So if tires could be shredded to fix the road, if we have tires in Barbados that can be shredded, if we have a shredder in Barbados that's sitting down doing nothing, what's the problem? What's the problem? You see, my thing is this. We keep saying somebody got to fix it. Who is this somebody? You mean the creator got to come down again or send a distant cousin? Because he sent his son already and we kill him. So you understand the distant cousin? So listen. Going back to what I said about the public service, right? We have got to sit down and say, look, this is the problem.
Right.
Okay. So how do we fix it? Well, these are the options. Bang, 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 bang. Okay? Well, this one expensive. This one will take time. This one needs some work. This one is no use. So you move that. And you start moving from point to point to point until you arrive at the one that's workable. And you put it into operation.
Right.
Our problem, sir, is that we keep waiting on somebody to come down on a white horse. I see the Prime Minister is now going to talk to farmers to get some matter cleared up about farmers. I feel sorry for the poor Prime Minister, because she got to talk to farmers, she got to talk to the IDB, she got to talk to the CDB, she got to talk to CARICOM, she got to talk to the African community.
But Mr. Johnson, I mean...
What's the point?
Stop a second and just look at the kind of bulk that bees has taken off our society and got it there ready to recycle. I mean, you imagine that about our society, boating communities and things. It's a laudable effort from bees. I am saying that it's high time now that we get some input relative to this.
Perhaps you should change the name of the company to D's.
Huh?
Perhaps you should change the name of the companies from bees to D's.
But you're going to tell me the question that everyone will hope won't happen again. If 8,000 terrorists come in every month, the chances are they're going to build up again. You can tell me you had to go through it 10 more times before a decision is made to really, as you rightfully said, move that mountain. Because they say somebody said the fishermen use Mango Pond as a landmark again, whatever. It is retrograde to think that this would have to happen. And if the private sector is to be up and running, I'm saying that Paul Biden should have some input or look into with the shredder, et cetera. And I stand by that.
Maybe they wanted to buy the
reservation,
tires.
Huh?
Maybe they want him to buy the tires.
We do something.
Look,
I
have to tell you, right?
Yeah.
That this whole question of how we dispose of things, the last time I made the comment about companies in Barbados recycling, somebody sent me a WhatsApp message saying, you need to tell the public which companies in Barbados recycle and where you could buy the recycled product. I said to the person, that's not my job. No. That's not what I was referring to at all. That's the problem.
Uh-huh.
I said to the person, it's not my job to advertise for people.
Okay.
They're supposed to advertise for themselves.
Uh-huh.
Right? But here's the thing. We keep thinking about recycling only about plastic bottles and cans and old cars and tires by bees.
It's broader than that.
But so, for example, there's a company in Barbados, unless it shut down, they used to do advertising on VOB. A nice lady called Paula used to come in, that take the cartridges from out of printers and recycle them, put back ink in it and give it back to you, rather than throwing it in the garbage.
Okay.
Right? So that's recycling and that's reselling, right? That's finding a way to save your money, because I know sometimes you just buy a printer for $197, and when you go to buy ink, one cartridge is $70 and the other one is $50.
Yeah.
So you might as well buy a new printer, depending on the type of printer you have. But no, on a serious note, however, there are opportunities for money-making ventures from what we consider to be garbage. And until we get it right.
You know, I've been saying that relentlessly,
though. Yeah, but China stopped taking we garbage, and now they're sending us coronavirus. So we're afraid to even say the word China, because apparently as soon as you see a Chinese, you catch coronavirus. Heaven help us. But we need to understand that Barbados is only X by X, and unless we plan to use all the old cars, the old buses, and the tires to create the Barbados Annex, we got to find a way to get rid of them.
Mr. Johnson, I regard you, man.
You too, sir. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Somebody says to me, I don't know where you get those ink costs from. The ink costs twice the cost of the printer. Mine was a refill. Okay. I was being, I had a $195 printer. The ink was $95 and $97, I think, or something like that. So, yeah. Combined, it was the cost of the printer. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning. 4341790. You can also send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, 266-4862. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, sir.
When you were speaking about the fireworks of Ekabara, right? I didn't quite get what you say.
There was a place in Kalamarok that had fireworks stored, and it exploded and somebody died. They were moving it out of the location, Upper Kalamarok, and there was an explosion and somebody died in it, as far as I recall.
That's how we know it.
Well, you know.
They used to crash to it. Years ago, Mr. John, I can't remember the year.
No, sir, all I could recall, I don't think they made, there's a building, as a matter of fact, I think there's something else there now, just...
The house.
It was a house up by an insurance company.
I tell you which house that got destroyed. Mm-hmm. It was a house that, like, it had, the gallery was hanging out.
Okay. And they were making it there?
Hello?
They were making fireworks there, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Two men.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that they were moving the fireworks over there.
No one knew
that
they're moving on.
Okay.
And that last call you had, I will give you a medal for jacking here, man. Have a nice day, sir.
Thank you, sir. I remember that when I get jacked up the next time. Brass Tax, good morning.
A special good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Not too bad. I've got three things to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be very quick.
All right.
The gentleman that talked about the pension, that the sister would not give the home.
ID card.
ID card. But the home should never get the ID card. It should, once you're in a geriatric home that the government run, they automatically, the money go, the government keep that money for the upkeep of the person in the home. No money should be paid out to the sister or anyone. The home should never have gotten that money. It should, the government should stop the check automatically and let, and the money that he's getting would be to the home for his upkeep. Because I know if you are in a home, I must talk about where I know, sir, in the UK, and you've got a property and you've got money say you have money in the bank, you have to pay for your upkeep in that government home. But if you don't have any money, the government still take care of you 100%. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow this check business don't sound right. The government should automatically, the home should have notified the government that John Brown is coming in and there's no more checks should be paid out.
But ma'am, here's the problem, right? And which is why I tried to control what I said about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let us say, for example, Mr. X
mm-hmm.
has a house.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. X lives alone.
Mm-hmm.
He is no longer able to take care of himself,
mm-hmm.
so he is in a home.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a pension check.
Mm-hmm.
If the pension check goes to the home, the geriatric hospital, or if it's a private home, goes to the home to help pay for his upkeep.
Uh-huh.
What happens to Mr. X's house?
If someone is living in there, I don't know that.
Well, this is it. Okay, but if there's nobody living there, the house is going to fall into disrepair. The light and power company is going to send bills there. The water company is going to send the water bill and the sewage contribution and the garbage contribution. If he has natural gas, the bill is going to go there unless somebody cuts it off, okay?
Yes.
So if you have somebody who is ensuring that the lighting get turned off, the gas get turned off, not that they're living there, but they're a member of the family that ensuring that the house is kept so that if he comes out, if he eventually wants to rent it out, or if he passes away and they get it for free, they want to use his pension check to pay those bills. What is going to happen? And
no,
this is where the problem starts.
They don't, Mr. Johnson, no, they cannot get no money.
Ma'am, hold on. You can't say that. Because
if you're living in the house, if you're living in there.
Ma'am, I just told you there's nobody living there.
You cut off all the LEM.
But if he's not able to do it, somebody has to do it for him. which means he has to give them permission to act on his behalf, which means they need the ID card, etc., to get it done.
Mr. Johnson, if you don't pay your water bill for 2 months, it cut off. And if you don't pay your light, the water, your light bill, maybe for 2 months, that cut off automatically. There is no joke about this light and power and water.
Ma'am, you're not listening to me, you know. He does not want it. I don't want it cut off that way, because if it has to be reconnected, there's a fee. So it has to be done the right way. You notify the Barbados.
The government
takes
the responsibility then of paying his bill, like the water and the light then. You understand? But there is no way no one can get that money if that person is in a government home. I do not know. And the private home, the money should go to the private home for his upkeep. With his name on it, payable to the private home, with something like that. But I'm telling you, Mr. Johnson, you cannot get him. I'm living here, and I put my old man in the address. How am I going to get his money? Your government cannot be keeping him, and you get his money, and the government must keep him as well. That is not
so
right.
So let me ask you this question, right? Mm-hmm. Heaven forbid.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid. Your husband gets a pension.
Mm-hmm.
He is in a home. He's mm-hmm. in the geriatric hospital because you can't take care of him because you're mm-hmm. close to geriatric hospital yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're not working. You don't get a pension. You don't have children. They take his pension. He's in the home. How do you live?
Because they will give a percentage to me.
Oh, they give a percentage now? Who decides what the percentage is?
I don't know about here. But I'm telling you what's happening out there. I would, if I'm not working and I get a pension, I would get a non-contributory pension.
Mm.
And then I would get something from what he get if he was a contributory person. You understand? It's work. You have to know how to work it out. There's too many slackness. You know, that's what and the next thing I'm talking about, the gentleman, the person that talk about, the two old person who are mental, you know, get from what they call it, the mental. Anyway, and they can't work. Now, this is what I know. I've got three sisters who are disabled. They can walk, they can do everything, but because of accident, they cannot work again. One did make her appointment to go and see, because every so often they randomly call you to see how fit you are. Right? And she forget the date, and they stop her pension. They stop it completely, and she now have to go back all over that again to you know, for the doctors and everyone to write out, yes, she cannot work, she's disabled. Even though she's 72, they still have to go over to that again.
Mm.
You know, so I know they should have write someone in care of those persons that they need to come in and to be a body. To check to see what, you know, if they're capable of working.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So now, Mr. B,
mm-hmm.
when Mr. B, when the B was digging out everything in the near where I'm living, only 2 minutes away from me,
mm-hmm.
he was wondering, you know, you hang out your clothes outside, and I like white curtain bad. I like, you know, my things white. And one day I went to pick up my sheet and my curtain, and millions of little spots was on. I couldn't wear them no more. Tears come out my eyes for days, and I have to put them in the bin. I did show them to the representative then, and I went and put them in the bin. Now, if you are going to do something like that, you're going to dig out somewhere, you should let the resident know. We did not know. You know when we know? When it hit the newspaper. That's when we know. Mr. I am not objecting to no one having any. But when you do that, you say no, no. There was no, they didn't call and tell anyone. They didn't send no one to come and speak to us that this is what going up. I went down there and I see the machine. I see the machine working, but there was million or 10 million machines. There is no cover. There was none. And that's what the objection was as well. And the attitude, what they were went down there and watched it, they were showing you on the video how it would work. All over the place. You know, the metal, whatever, was flying. And now, and baby, and things like, you have the baby outside, and anything like little fine metal go down that baby throat. What would happen?
Fair enough, ma'am. I will let the gentleman from Bees have a discussion on this matter of the shredder, where it was supposed to be located, the issue with the people in close proximity. I know objections were raised, and I know that the whole process was aborted at some point. The WhatsApp message says, ask the government industrial school at Dodd St. Philip to stop the burning. It affects the residents across the pasture in Church Village. Can't reach them by the phone. So I'm just reading it, whether I hope it is correct. Someone says to me that I should know the law, that if a person goes into an almshouse, the person's assets goes to the government. It's an old English law. The lady is right. Check it out. I'm not a lawyer. My uncle was. I am not. So I'm not aware of all the laws, old English or otherwise. So I don't know what the almshouse law says. Perhaps Voice of Barbados will once again get a lawyer on call, a retired judge, and anyway. Hopefully they'll be able to answer those questions about assets and powers of attorneys. And I know people who have checked themselves into nursing homes because they can't take care of themselves anymore. There's some people who have suffered from Alzheimer's and various other types of ailments that befall them suddenly, losing their vision, for example, their sight, and these things happen suddenly, and sometimes you're not able to make all the arrangements yourself. And I know properties that fall into disrepair. I know properties that have been seized by unscrupulous people. And that's why I raised the issue about who takes care of should something happen. That's why I was engaging the lady in conversation. I wasn't trying to be confrontational or make it seem as though, I knew what was right and I wasn't. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dennis.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm being good.
Okay. Well, let me start by extending condolences to the family of Rashid as a Brass Tacks family member. I extend condolences to his family and his passing. Dennis, let me start with recycling. First, I'll go with tires, and I'll point out, in my opinion, what the benefits are of using the shredded rubber as part of the road paving recycling aspect. The using the rubber is going to enhance the grip or the road grip. As you know, we use coil stone here, and a lot of the times we have accidents due to sliding and slipping and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's going to enhance.
Hydroplaning.
Precisely, yeah, all of those things. So rubber against rubber, obviously, there's going to be a better grip. So it's going to be enhanced, give you enhanced grip. It could really go some way in terms of reducing accidents and collisions as well. So that's a win-win. And versus if you are going with it as to burn it and convert it to energy, we have several other aspects of generating electricity and producing energy by wind, by tide, and by other than by burning. So I think it will be and because there's the supply chain of the tires, there's no, as I heard something in the news saying that it would only last, they could only guarantee a 6-month supply. So really that wouldn't make any sense. So I hope that Mr. what's the minister's name again? Mr. Grant, Rudy Grant is listening, and that to go in the direction of using it for the roads. Well, what that would allow you to do is whatever supply and quantities is available in it, to use it as the supply arrives, you can then use it at a basis. It doesn't create that constant demand based on the same way as if you're using it to burn or to produce energy. So I sincerely hope that the decision is taken that it will go in that direction.
But my question is, difficult process, long, expensive process? In other words, you know, it's going to cost the government another $150 million U.S. to
be able to
do this?
Use it. No, if you're mixing it with the bitumen and so on, once you've separated the metal from the rubber, when it's mixed, the my research indicate that it's pretty much a straightforward usage. It's not, you don't have to do a lot to convert it. In other words, it's a ratio of mix.
Mix it, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me continue on the recycling and talk about cash for trash and converting trash to cash. As a consumer, I don't see why I should be left out of the loop in terms of some sort of payment for if I'm going to supply you with material that you're going to convert to dollars.
Mm-hmm. You should get a little piece.
Yeah, a little piece of pie. I mean, why shouldn't you?
Well, I agree. I don't see why not.
and we have, I don't know, I think we perhaps, what I'm going to say here, I know some people may not agree, but in terms of what we did with banning of single-use plastic, I think we haven't really banned single-use plastic because we have so much products that are still in the marketplace that is a single-use. So take stuff that you use in the medical fraternity, for example.
Correct.
Needles.
Needles
mm-hmm. and the packages that you wrap stuff in, they're snacks. I mean, you go in this, you see the amount of snacks and things that are in plastic that are in the snack aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought would have been if we had looked at recycling and using, encouraging consumers to take the plastic and recycle it. We humans are creatures of habit, as you would know, and unfortunately, in this really, that's by design, and we the habits that we have that are not good, we also repeat them. It's just like how we're supposed to repeat the habits that are good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a greater, it's a taller climb to switch from the habits of bad to convert them into good. So it's not impossible, but it is a more difficult task. So just like a child, if you learn, you know, over time, and you bend, you I'm sure when you first got on a bicycle, you took some tumbles, you didn't know how to ride it. But over time, you were learning.
The tumbles became less. I asked a couple of weeks ago, when I happened to be sitting on the program, we talk a lot about getting people to recycle, getting people to recycle, getting people to recycle. And I said, as step one, since there's a chart put out that says, okay, green for this, blue for that, white for the other, why don't we go a step further and ask the companies that bring in single-use plastic bags or degradable plastic bags and either sell them to the public for 5 cents or 10 cents or whatever they ask you for when you go, to sell those bags color-coded with a note on it that says, this bag can be used for plastics because it's a blue bag.
And recycled is 2 cents or
correct.
Know, five
so that you start the process of associating the color with the metal or the plastic, and it gets into the person's mind and the child's mind that, you know, if I have a blue plastic bag, I put the plastic bottles in that. And if I have a green plastic bag, I put the corned beef can. And so it becomes easier for them to start to think of separating their garbage rather than just saying, you know, you have to separate your garbage and you put all of them in a black plastic bag.
It's not rocket science, then. The longest journey starts with a single step. Unfortunately, ideas and concepts the Prime Minister is now opening dialogue for citizens to come and make contributions and make pitches with regards to ideas and stuff like that. That's a good move. But you don't watch a lot of TV, but there are ads to talk about inventions, ideas and inventions where you have this ad where people take, once you have an idea, it takes your idea, have the concept, and the company would do the pitch for it and see whether it's a worthwhile idea and stuff like that, and see if it can be converted into something that's rewarding for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
But like most things, unfortunately, unless you're coming from the academic community, a lot of the times there's little respect, as you know, that goes to contributions which are made. They say it's common sense, or they want to diminish the value because you don't come with the credentials behind your name. That's unfortunate. Anyhow, I think I've had a bit of a haul, so I'll leave some for another time.
No problem at all, sir. Always good having a chat with you, and I look forward to some more road solutions, all right? Because I noticed, I don't know if you've seen the notice in the paper, I've also seen some lines on the road. There can be some traffic changes made to the area here in Bridgetown for the demolition of the fire station and the NIS building.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to involve many roundabouts and other things. So we can have some congestion out here shortly. Oh. I wait to see.
It would be nice if gotten a
drawing, right? an advance warning, right?
If I had some warning, I would have
sat and looked at it. Well, yeah. I have now given you the warning.
I'll see if I can
make late, but nevertheless. All right, sir.
All right.
Good hearing you. There's an accident on Lower Broad Street by the taxi stand, and the backup of traffic is down to Pelican Village, and that's from an authorized source.